An emerging market country is a country where, on average, people earn less money than people who live in developed, prosperous countries. But if economic growth is fast enough, then the emerging market country has hopes of catching up to the richer parts of the world.
But there are also certain qualities of emerging market countries that can make them vulnerable to really volatile swings in the economy. The country might have a booming economy, maybe even a booming economy for years, and then suddenly it just goes bust. There's a financial crisis and sometimes a deep recession. And there are a lot of examples of this over the past few decades, especially in the 90s, when Thailand, Malaysia, Indonesia, and Mexico were some of the countries hit by these very crises. Something like this has also been happening in Turkey this year.
Economic crisis in Turkey this morning.
Currency collapse in Turkey puts stress on emerging markets.
Turkey turmoil, no end in sight. Investors.
When a crisis hits an emerging market country, it's always a deep disappointment, not just for the obvious reason that a crisis is always bad, but also because a crisis stops an emerging market country's progress in catching up to the living standards of richer countries. So there is an important human element here.
And to understand why it is that emerging markets so often experience these boom and bust cycles, we called someone who has dedicated his career to understanding this.
I'm George Magnus. I'm an economist, and I'm the author of a book called Red Flags, Why Seize China is in Jeopardy.
George has found that actually these emerging market boom and bust cycles often follow the same pattern. This is The Indicator from Planet Money. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith.
And I'm Cardiff Garcia. Today on the show, the four phases of the emerging market boom and bust cycle.
This message comes from NPR sponsor, Nuveen. With a 120-year history, Nuveen is a pioneer in alternatives, fixed income, and responsible investing. Because when you invest in a world you're proud to leave behind, it isn't business as usual, it's investing by example. Support also comes from ExxonMobil, the company that's helping cars go further with less, making cars more efficient, and helping to reduce emissions. Learn more at energyfactor.com. ExxonMobil. Energy lives here.
Economist George Magnus has spent his career studying the pattern that emerging market boom and bust cycles tend to follow. And he's identified four phases that these countries will usually go through.
Phase one, George says, is optimism.
Always the best phase.
Yeah.
The optimism phase.
So this is when a country's government, and let's stick with Turkey here as an example. The optimism phase is when the Turkish government and the central bank were stimulating the economy. Interest rates were low, so it was cheap to borrow money. Stock market and real estate market were going up.
Government policies are very kind of benign, and maybe governments are actually egging on either the construction industry or the energy industry or whatever industry it happens to favor.
So yeah, that's the optimism phase. People are feeling good. Companies start borrowing more money to expand their operations, buy new factories. They're buying better equipment. They're hiring more people. But things aren't getting out of hand, and there's really not much more to say here. That is phase one.
Phase two, George says, is the boom.
So this is really an advanced stage of the phase of optimism. So this is when we begin to see conditions that are relatively euphoric, and in some cases they might even be extreme.
The boom phase is essentially the optimism phase on steroids. The economy is growing hyper-fast, people have jobs, and people are spending a lot more money.
And when George mentioned that there are signs of euphoria in this phase, he means a few things. One is that a lot of the money being spent is spent importing a lot of stuff from abroad.
We might see a country's trade position begin to deteriorate because it starts to import more than it exports.
Why would that happen? George, why would that part happen?
That would happen because if people are very confident in terms of their spending decisions, so consumers might be spending a lot of money, and therefore, particularly in poorer countries, they wouldn't have a lot of locally made consumer goods, so they'd want to import those goods.
In the boom phase, companies also tend to really ramp up how much money they are borrowing. George says that a few companies will get into so much debt that just to pay the interest on the money they've already borrowed, they will have to borrow more money. That's never a good idea.
Yeah, but for the moment, all this seems okay. Because remember, this is the boom phase. The economy's still growing fast. People are working hard. which brings us to phase three.
Phase three, the ominously titled Twilight Phase. In this phase, all that borrowing and spending has led to higher prices for pretty much everything. The price of land, the price of houses, the price of goods that people buy. In other words, really high inflation. Plus, in this phase, the stock market is going way up, it's booming, and starting to look like maybe it's in a bubble.
Yeah, and foreign investors, like financial institutions, they're getting in on the action. They invest their money in the country's stock market or directly into companies, and they loan money to the country.
And by the end of the twilight phase, the stock and real estate markets are solidly in a bubble. Inflation is really high, and the country's businesses have a ton of debt. They have borrowed a ton of money. And that is the setup for the fourth and final phase, the bust.
So this is when people begin to realize that the game is up.
The game is up. Just like this year, the game was up for Turkey. In this phase, investors worry that the economy is going to take a bad turn, that too much of the economic growth in the country was the result of unsustainable borrowing, and foreign investors in particular start pulling their money out of the country.
And also, the banks that are lending money to Turkish companies start getting worried that they won't get paid back. And there is something crucial to understand about all of this borrowing that's been happening, and it's this. When Turkish companies were borrowing money from banks, a lot of those companies were not borrowing Turkish money, the lira. They were borrowing U.S. dollars. And the reason is that the banks that were lending to these Turkish companies wanted to be paid back in dollars because they didn't trust the Turkish lira to hold its value. So the banks agreed to lend the money only in dollars instead. That way, if the Turkish lira fell, the banks wouldn't get paid back in a worthless currency.
But just because a lot of Turkish companies borrow in dollars doesn't mean they can do business in dollars. They are in Turkey. Their customers buy their products in lira. So if the value of the lira falls against the dollar, that makes it harder for these Turkish companies to pay back their loans because it means they have to earn more lira to pay back each dollar that they borrowed.
And remember, this is the bust phase when global investors want out of Turkey. And the lira is weakening. And that means that suddenly a lot of Turkish companies are struggling to pay back their loans, which have been taken out in U.S. dollars. And that makes the banks less likely to extend Turkish companies new loans, which further damages the Turkish economy, which further leads to more investors taking more money out of Turkey, which further weakens the Turkish lira, and so on. The bust continues. And Cardiff, there you've got it. The four phases of the emerging markets boom and bust cycle.
The four phases that I've kind of outlined here of, you know, optimism, boom, twilight, and bust, I mean, it could have almost been written precisely for Turkey.
Hi, I'm Daniel Alarcón, host of NPR's Spanish language podcast, Radio Ambulante. Why should you tune in to our show? We asked our listeners.
I feel like I'm home.
It's a great way to practice my Spanish.
It completely changed my life.
Listen to Radio Ambulante on the NPR One app or wherever you get your podcasts.